CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Here we are. It's live. It's Tuesday morning. 22nd of November.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, all of us who've been moaning about 2016.
I know. It's almost over.
It's almost going to leave us.
You're almost at that stage. You can forget about the year 2016. Throw it away in the toilet. It's time, baby.
It's been such a bad year. It should be thrown away in our toilet.
Yeah, that...
Just to make it realize how bad it's been.
What, do we officially have the worst toilet in the country?
I think so.
Well, yeah. It's right
Look,
up there.
It's come back a bit. I think someone did actually phone the police. It's kind of leveled out a bit now.
Look, I got to say that the bathrooms that they used to leave open to the public at the SABC were way worse. I mean, those were just... reprehensible. But anyway, I do think that most people are tired of 2016. I really do. I get that feeling people are like, okay, I'm definitely ready for the next year. And I did tell you, did I tell you about that numerology conversation I had?
No.
I'm sure I did.
I don't remember.
I mentioned something about how, you know, this friend of mine who's into that kind of stuff says that, well, if you add up the numbers for 2016, you get 2 plus 0 is obviously 2, plus 1 is 3, and 3 plus 6 is 9, and 9 is at the end of the cycle. So you use the 9-year, according to numerologists, to tie up things, to finish projects, to move into the next level of stuff. And then the 1 year, which comes after that, 2 and 0, is obviously 2, and 1 is 3, and 7 gives you 10, and 10 is 1 and 0, which is 1, is a new start. It's a fresh start for everybody. And that's a chance for you to start new projects and to do new things and to get into stuff that you didn't get into before and kind of take things in a new direction. So if you believe in that stuff, there are lots of reasons to be excited about 2017. Even if you don't believe in that stuff, just saying goodbye to 2016 is a good reason to be happy about 2017.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I think at this stage we should be allowed to believe whatever we want. Without judgment.
You can. You know what I would be fascinated to do? I couldn't sleep properly last night. Again, I woke up, for God's sake, I just wish I could figure out what's going on with my sleeping patterns. Woke up at like 2:30 in the morning. And I tried to go back to sleep, and eventually at 4:15 I got back to sleep, and then obviously I had to be up shortly after that. But I was lying in bed, and when you can't sleep, you've got to do something. You can't just toss and turn, and you know, then it just gets worse. So I started reading about the tomb of Emperor Qin.
Oh, okay, yeah, him.
You're the first Chinese emperor.
Yeah.
What was so spectacular about Emperor Qin?
You know the terracotta warriors?
Yes.
They actually brought like some of them here, I think, a while ago. They traveled the world. Those terracotta warriors are there were thousands of them that were laid out at the foot of his tomb in China. They've never excavated his tomb. It's thousands of years old. They've never excavated it. There are rumors that there is a lake of mercury, that there are all kinds of devices that will kill you if you go in there.
Well, there's been all those curses that have happened before.
Yeah.
You hear all those stories.
And I was just reading about that this morning, trying to get to sleep. But it was, I mean, it's a fascinating story. And the Chinese just won't excavate it. They said, well, we don't really have the money to do it now, but as soon as we do, you know, we're prepared to wait. We're an old civilization. We'll wait a couple of hundred years if we have to. Can you imagine that kind of patience in America? Not possible.
Right?
They'll wait to excavate Emperor Qin's tomb. So I was just reading about that last night and thinking, well, you know, when it comes to what people believe, which is what Ben is and what Mavs is saying just a moment ago, there are lots of people who believe lots of different things, and that's totally cool. I was watching this story in the news last night about this pastor who sprays doom into people's faces.
Mm.
Have you heard about this?
Of course.
Oh my God! So this guy, he calls himself a prophet. I mean, just basically, listen, I got to be frank here. Anyone who calls himself a prophet, you must immediately get away from that person. They are probably very bad people who want to get your money, and they quite possibly will do dangerous, irrational things to get the whole profit, and I mean P-R-O-F-I-T,
yeah,
the whole profit motive advanced for what they call themselves profits for. You know, they make shit up. Anyway, they had that Gilan Gork on last night talking to Jeremy Maggs and Iman
Rapetti.
And he was talking about, like, the power of persuasion and how these guys use, like, psychological techniques, perfectly normal, you know, plausible scientific psychological techniques to get people to believe that they're special. Now, let me remind you, there's no mammal, and I include all of us mammals. There is no mammal on this earth who has special powers. There is not one. If anyone claims to have special powers, they're bullshitting you, and something bad is about to happen to you. I mean, to let these people spray doom into your face. I mean, doom contains some seriously poisonous chemicals.
Yeah, its one purpose is to murder and kill.
It's to kill insects.
And take away life.
It's an insecticide.
Now, you know your skin is full of bacteria and stuff. A good bacteria, mostly. And God alone knows what doom is doing to the surface of your skin. Let alone your nasal passages and much more sensitive tissue inside your mouth and nose. It just, it makes me crazy that someone would allow themselves. We've got a lot of really, really gullible people in South Africa that would allow themselves to be like, treated like idiots. It boggles my mind. So you say, Mubs, we must let people believe what they want to believe, but man.
Well, look.
This kind of thing is, this is bordering on criminal.
So.
Eating rats, eating grass.
Petrol.
There was a tweet that I saw yesterday that's kind of been doing a rounds that was retweeted a few times. And in this tweet, the person said, so you're more than happy to say that these people are stupid or gullible, but you're the same people who take communion every Sunday because it's the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And I think the direction that the conversation was going into was looking at religions as a whole.
Well,
you know
how I feel. I think they're all crazy.
So I don't know. At this stage, it's a level of, well, your practices are definitely more stupid than the ones that I believe. And so you feel better about it, right? Because you're not having doom spread in your face. But you do still believe in things that are that are weird.
You aren't allowed to be superior about the guy who's spraying the doom into people's face if you believe in, like, Holy Communion, or you believe in talking snakes and burning bushes and all that shit.
Starve for 40 days or whatever prior to Easter because there's something magical about 40 days or whatever.
You make
that
up.
That's the conversation that people were having.
It's all made up. And the whole lot of you, if you believe in this stuff, you need to kind of, I don't know, reassess before you start. Or you shut up. I mean, if you're willing to keep believing your stuff, that's fine too. But then you got to shut up about other people's weird stuff. It's like when people get all superior about Scientologists. They're like, those Scientologists are so stupid. They believe in Lord Xenu and a planet and the engrams.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what do you believe in? You believe some dude was hung up on a cross and he died and then he woke up a couple of days later and walked around.
Yeah.
So that's
talking
why I'm
snakes
saying
and burning
then,
bushes. You
know, that's why I'm saying then we must just all believe whatever we want and that's fine.
Sure. But
because now we're going to fight amongst each other about, no, what I believe is better than what you believe in, and this is why.
Or you don't believe in any of that shit.
Yeah.
None of it. Hey, Noma, what's up?
Good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Oh, it's the first time I'm up at, like, okay, it's not stupid o'clock. For me, it is. I work from home, so I'm like, what the hell?
So you don't have to wake up really, really early if you don't want to.
No, most days when I don't have to be at anyone's office, I just sleep at, like 10 o'clock's normal. That's my morning.
Jeez, lucky you. I'd love that.
Oh, it's not fun at month end because I work for myself, so on the 30th, I'm like, well, how many hours did I do? Oh, wait, I can't get a full salary.
Yeah, look, it's difficult when you pay yourself and, you know, I understand. So what's on your mind?
I'm a couple of weeks behind on podcasts because that's how I entertain myself when I'm driving.
Right.
I know Mabani was off, but I'm sure she's back today.
She is.
I am.
Hi, Mabani.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I loved how you and Ben managed the show when Gareth was away. You guys did a very, very good job.
Thanks very much.
Keep it up. And Ben, I am so going to stalk you and bet how you bet. I need to make some Christmas present money. It is tough out here.
See, that makes that puts so much pressure on me now. I'm sweating over that.
Please don't get the yips or something and then start betting weirdly.
Did you see Ben on ENCA last night?
No. Okay, here's the thing. I got home at like 6, still had work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And at midnight, I was like, crap, it's midnight. Oh, and it was my birthday, and I didn't even notice it. I was like, oh, people are like, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. Working, got to go, but thanks. But midnight, I was like, okay.
No, you missed it. It was very good.
Okay.
Ben pretty much, he turned the dial down 1 or 2 points on how furious he was at the Springboks yesterday morning, but he was still furious.
Wow.
I mean, he was the most cutting, and you were so concise. Jeez, did you have bullet points written down?
No, I like going on TV because it makes you behave. Like here, I can sit around, slouch in my chair, say the odd like rude word. There, you've really actually got to bring your game.
Yeah, that's
true.
You're
restraining yourself. I can see an angry Ben just gritting his teeth and going, this is what the Springboks need to do.
Yeah, well, all right, listen, Norma, I got to get out of here.
Thanks a little, guys. You take care.
All right, baby.
Bye-bye.
There's Norma. But you did do well.
Thank you.
I thought it was going to be Jeremy Maggs who interviewed you.
I was hoping
some shit.
I was hoping it would be Jeremy too, and he was going to ask, like, just tee me up like you do. But no, it was more about just questions and covering various bases.
Okay. Well, it went very well.
Thank you. But it was quite tough following from Gillan Gork, who was doing all kinds of amazing things. And then I talk about the Springboks.
Yeah.
Just stepped up.
No, it was pretty good. I'm choosing, you know, which of these stories makes me more angry, the doom in the face of the Springbok one. You know, I don't get upset about sport, but I'm meeting people. The whole day yesterday, I bumped into people who were just really upset about the Springboks.
Yeah, it does. It breaks down some people's fibers.
Yeah, it gets into people's lives.
If we had to rank the top three national teams, which one is performing the worst and who's holding their own?
In the past, you could just say Bafana, but then, like, the Springboks are so bad now, with all their resources, all their history of success, that technically they're doing the worst.
Mm.
And nobody can actually contest that. But the Proteas are far and above the best in every single facet and form.
Yeah. I think they're at the top at the moment, but you'd put the Springboks below Bafana right now.
Right now I would, yeah. If you just look at the trajectory, what's happening, they're fifth in the world, right? Bafana's like, I don't know, 75th, but very different sports, very competitive football.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the box can be so bad and still be fifth shows how few teams are really involved in rugby.
Jeez. All right, here's John Oliver talking about the year 2016, which we started the conversation this morning with this, and I thought this might make a lot of people smile.
It has been one calamity after another. And while it will be remembered for the giant calamity we all just witnessed, we shouldn't lose sight of the other multiple ways this has been a shitty year.
If we could erase 2016 off the calendar, it would be perfectly good with me.
Pretty rotten year. I think most people would admit that.
It totally blew. It was awful.
This world is feeling scarier. It's feeling a little colder.
For EU, it was a really crappy year.
The whole Brexit was kind of a mess.
Just a lot of, like, hatred to a lot of groups. I think that's, like, been the staple of this year.
Syrian refugee crisis, pretty terrible. Lots of sexism being very blatant.
I think it's absolutely disgusting what the city of Flint did to its residents.
The New York Jets suck. The Yankees missed the playoffs.
I didn't like Kevin Durant going to, going to Golden State. That was a chicken shit move.
Some asshole stole my watch in Miami.
I got broken up with. That was pretty shitty.
I had a girlfriend for 3.5 years. She broke up with me about 2 months ago.
My landlord is a piece of shit.
Met Bruce Willis here like a week ago and asked him for a picture and he said no, so that made me feel bad.
My son is hitting puberty and he's been a real pain in the ass.
I got all molded by a dog on my birthday, so that was like a cherry on top of like a shitty year.
Menopause. Never forget Harambe.
Harambe's out there listening. He took
Harambe.
Shots for us. We should take shots for him.
Too many deaths.
Prince is my man. I miss Prince.
Prince, I mean, that was just...
I think the worst is the David Bowie's death.
David Bowie. What the fuck?
Bowie? That was my big one.
Fife, dog, man. Come on, man. Shout out to Q-Tip, man. Tribe Called Quest. I grew up on that.
Muhammad Ali, that was one of the biggest.
What he represents for black people in America, that's a huge deal for me.
Move like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Oh, God. Gene Wilder.
Alan Rickman. Fucking Snape, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This year did suck.
Fuck 2016.
Fuck you, 2016.
Fuck you, 2016.
Fuck 2016.
Fuck you, 2016.
Bad year. Shit year.
2016. It's for you.
Fuck 2016. Fuck it a lot.
Fuck 2016. And fuck Donald Trump.
Fuck 2016.
CNN won't let me say this on New Year's Eve, but get fucked, 2016.
Fuck 2016.
What is this, mayonnaise?
Fuck 2016.
Fuck you,
2016!
Fuck you,
2016!
Fuck off.
2016
falls well below my standards of quality.
Fuck 2016.
Fuck you, 2016.
Hey, 2016. Go punch yourself in the dick.
Fuck this year.
Fuck you, 2016.
Fuck you, 2016.
Fuck you, John Oliver.
Hey, 2016. Fuck you! Hey, 2017, fuck you too. I hate you already.
Fuck you, 2016.
You're asking me.
Fuck 2016. Fuck 2016.
Yeah. And so it goes. I mean, a lot of people just hated the year, so if that's how you felt.
I know people jump on the bandwagon with this kind of stuff, but it has been a dick of a year. And even if you just look at, like, celebrity death, there's been some pretty
horrible
big names that have just taken this year. And then, of course, Harambe, which I'm still not really getting over.
You're still struggling with that one?
Well, you look at what's left on this earth right now. Oh. Harambe was actually one of the better ones. Okay. I'm talking mammals here.
I hear you. When we come back, we'll check in on the news. Headlines of Mubs. It's Tough Love and Like I Can. It is time for the news. Headlines is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Let me tell you a little bit about them before we move into anything else, in case you have no interest in eating boring food. Maybe you want to do something different. They've got a brand new summer menu, which was launched nationwide in the month of November. In addition to the Celebrity Chef series of pizzas, they also have new items featuring on their summer menu, including all kinds of exciting stuff. Pick a number, Mubs, between 1 and 10. Six. Let me see. A affumicato. It's a new Tabasco-inspired pasta of spicy pulled ribs in a creamy Tabasco chipotle sauce topped with julienned carrots and coriander. Doesn't that sound good?
Goodness, that sounds like it would be very satisfying.
Damn right. And don't forget, Colcacchio Pizzeria East Gate will be opening in the next few months. Keep an eye out on our Facebook page for more information on when it's time to find out what's going on in the headlines. And this isn't just for people who might have missed all those headlines yesterday, but also for those of us who aren't sure that we even heard things that were true. Because, you know, sometimes you hear the news and you go, whoa, 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 what?
A big what, indeed, is what we were all asking yesterday when the story of the Limpopo pastor broke, of him spraying doom in people's faces. So much so, Gareth, that Tiger Brands, who manufacture the insect killer, they even, you know, stepped in. They expressed that they were alarmed through a statement that they released yesterday. And they say that they are definitely going to get this pastor to stop doing what he does at his Mount Zion General Assembly congregation in Limpopo.
Why do people want to stop him?
Well, when people were concerned that this is obviously a case of people being exploited or taken advantage of, and so, I don't know.
But they want
they
believe it.
They see themselves as, you know, the heroic role that kind of steps in to try and save the helpless, needy people.
But these helpless, needy people have chosen this church, and they like this pastor. They call him a prophet, and they want him to administer his holy healing remedy of doom to their faces. So why do we want to stop them? I say great, let them carry on.
It is healing, Gareth. At least that is according to the pastor himself. You know
that God told him.
Oh yeah, he said a lot of things.
He's actually directly voice of God. Yeah,
God spoke directly to him. Now this has never happened to me, so I wonder how it sounds. Does God have a feminine or a masculine voice? Does he speak with an accent?
I think God would be the kind of character that could change as he or she feels.
All right. So you never.
I mean, with all that power that you possess, I think one day you could arrive as a woman, another day you could arrive as a man, in a different day you could arrive as a I don't know, a burning bush. I don't know. I think he's very fluid, that God.
Fair enough.
So the pastor said, you know, his methods are faultless, and they only require faith to work, and he's claimed that he's healed many a different people, and he honestly doesn't understand what everyone's problem is. Okay.
So leave him alone. Let him do his thing.
People must believe whatever they want. Okay? That's
at least his... You know what I can say? None of his congregation will get Zika virus, that's for sure.
Oh.
So we've got to be at least grateful for small things.
And then our president yesterday met with the ANC Working Committee and the veterans, right?
Ooh, okay.
This was supposed to be the big deal meeting because a lot of people within the organization have expressed grave concern with the way that the ruling party has turned out of late. And so the ANC Congress says that while Monday's meeting with the party's veterans was difficult at times, they are all united. And they've agreed on many issues and will meet again before the end of the year. The party's National Working Committee members met with the veterans that have been raising these concerns. This is, you know, pertaining to the state capture report, the Nkandla constitutional judgment earlier this year, and other issues involving President Jacob Zuma. The stalwarts have proposed that the party hold another conference to rebuild and renew the movement. This is what they've decided now.
Another talk shop.
Yes. Basically, the ANC and the veterans yesterday met to discuss having another meeting before the year is up. That's basically what's happened here.
These guys are so good at meetings, huh?
Now, some of the veterans have urged President Zuma to step down. He recently retaliated by questioning their motives and going as far as to say that, you know, some of them don't even belong to ANC branches. And so yesterday they all got together. It was awkward at times, but they've all decided, for the good of the movement, united we stand.
Yeah, well, for the good of the movement, there's one thing that would really make the movement good. And nobody's saying what it is.
And they said that, you know, those who've been calling for the president to step down are actually in the minority.
Mm.
And that people just need to calm down and everything will be okay.
Well, then the ANC rally, it does deserve him, and they deserve to lose the 2019 elections. Cool. If those people who are calling for him to leave, the people who have a conscience, the old stalwarts, the people who the intelligent people in the party, not the ones who were placed there by the president as his sycophant, if those people are in the minority, then it really is time for the ANC to fail. I wait for that moment with open arms. Bring it on, bitches.
Don't believe everything that you read or hear is what ZANU-PF officials have said. Just taking another opportunity to remind us that regardless of what you heard, President Robert Mugabe won't be forced to step down by anybody, okay? Because yesterday there was news about how, you know, about the president's plans for retirement. But Mugabe says that if he has to retire, and that's a big if, he will do so properly by his standards, I suppose. But there is no sign that he will be leaving anytime soon. The president was making the point that he won't be forced to step down by factions within his party plotting to succeed him.
92 years old. 92, and he's like, if I retire.
Yes.
At this point, dude, you should be happy for a solid bowel movement. Retiring.
Don't you think he's probably the healthiest?
You should be dribbling. You should be watching reruns of Matlock and the Golden Girls in an old age home, weeing into your adult diaper.
don't you think that he's one of the healthiest 92-year-olds we know
about?
Yeah,
but really and true. I mean, listen, I'm all for, like, you know, 70 is the new 40 and all that stuff. I'm all for it. But 92? I mean, for God's sake, get out of the way and let someone else take over. You've been in charge for a very long time. We don't need you anymore. The world doesn't need you anymore. No one on earth is going to be sorry when you decide that it's time for you to move on. Let someone young with a bit of energy and some new ideas and some dynamism, someone who wasn't born in the 1800s, let them take over. How about it? It's a brand new day. Come on, Bob Mugabe. Do the right thing and step aside, you old asshole.
The president has joked before that those plotting to succeed him are unhappy that he hasn't died, in what seems to be a reference to top ZANU-PF officials. And so, you know, yesterday they just wanted to remind us all that, nope, not anytime soon, people. The president stays.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, he's not in any hurry to go. I don't wish him death. I just wish him a nice retirement. Get out now. It's time. Dude. Something about people who just cannot let go, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's just time. Like, do the right thing. There are people in their 20s and 30s who don't even... They weren't around in World War I and II like you. They don't know what the world looks like through 92-year-old eyes. And the world is different through your 92-year-old eyes to the way that it really is.
And one of the most overrated human things is wisdom. It is such, like, a fallacy. Oh, he's so wise, he'll have the right decisions. No, he's ruined the country. They have no currency. People are starving.
It's a disaster.
It's
a horrible, horrible place. There isn't one person who's living in Zim at the moment who wants to be there, and there are not a lot of people outside of Zim who come from there that want to go back. So that tells you everything. Don't take my word for it, take theirs. All right? Because there are those very small groups of very stupid people on social media who still crow about how great Robert Mugabe is. Well, if he's so great, how come everybody wants to get out of that country and the ones who are already out don't want to go back in? If it was so fantastic, wouldn't they have their own currency with their own president on it? No, they have to use America's money. And China's. Because they're a toilet bowl of a country now. And they've been run into the ground by the worst government imaginable. So go on, defend them. I dare you. See how well you do.
Those are your latest headlines at 6:30.
All right, thank you, Mabs. Let's get into the sport with Ben. The news, of course, brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Go and check them out. It's where everybody's going to go for their end-of-year functions. Ben, what do you got for us?
Well, Gareth, you're talking about just letting go. Lots of people are saying that Alistair Garcia should just let go of the Springbok job.
Mm-hmm.
11 matches, 7 losses. Basically, they've scored less than 2 tries a match on average, which is just horrible. It just means nothing's really going on. It's not very good. He's now said this week it is time to make some tough decisions. Only now, which is, you know, interesting.
Well, yeah, what were you doing before? Huh?
If you want to be the best at anything, tough decisions are something that's part of your job. And now it's all like, okay, guys, I've kind of got to do things that might make a difference for the better. So I kind of see where he's coming from. He said continuity is a big deal, giving players time to shine in the position. But like, it's just too buddy-buddy. It's just not clinical enough, and this is the problem. And you see it in their play. It's never clinical at all. So that's what's going to happen this weekend. Wholesale changes. Well, of course, he's in no-win position right now, because if he keeps the team as it is, then he'll be criticized for that. If he changes it wholesale-wise, people are going to say, oh, why only now? So he's kind of screwed. Anyway, even Elizabeth won't be in this team, regardless of anything like that, because he's still battling with concussion and he gets to go home, which is a good thing, because he should have been given a break anyway. The guy's basically played everything this whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And although he's big and strong, his ankle is tied together with, like, Band-Aid and magic. There's nothing really else going on there. So it's only a matter of time for someone like that breaks. So international fixtures to look forward to this weekend. Everyone's having a go. Italy are playing Tonga. Fiji versus Japan. England are playing Argentina. That's the first of the big games. Scotland take on Georgia. Wales will take on South Africa. That is the game if you still care about the Springboks. 7:30 on Saturday. Ireland versus Australia. It's also going to be a very good game, that one. 7:30 as well. And then France versus New Zealand. It'll be New Zealand's last match of the year. and that'll be at 10. But the big talking point right now is Champions League football. Just to run you through these ones quickly. CSK Moscow will take on Bayer Leverkusen tonight, 7 o'clock, your early game.
Right.
Then Monaco will take on Spurs. Spurs, who are looking pretty handy, they won 3-2 over the weekend. But can they translate that to Europe? It's kind of like they're the opposite of Leicester. Terrible in the league, but pretty good in Europe this year. So that will take place at 9:45. Leicester will take on Club Brugge. That'll be at 9:45 at home for them. Sevilla will take on Juventus. All these games will be at 9:45. Copenhagen versus Porto. Dinamo Zagreb versus Olympic Lyon. Borussia Dortmund versus Legia Warsaw. And then Sporting will host Real Madrid. Now, Real Madrid, well, they've been so good locally. They won 3-0 over the weekend. But they did draw recently to Legia Warsaw, 3-3 in front of zero fans.
Zero fans, is that because those Polish were so furious and angry? And
well, they just couldn't behave, and then they were told they couldn't have any fans.
Right.
Yeah, they light flares, and they break chairs, throw their hands in the air, all that kind of stuff. So that's this week. It's a big talking point right now. Right. Champions League. It's such a big thing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, just the big money teams go through. But still, this is the time where everyone gets a bit of a go. In cricket, 7 o'clock, so any minute now, Faf du Plessis will be pulled out, and we'll have a conclusion to this mint gate, as they're calling it. So yesterday there was obviously a lot of controversy because there was this uppity Aussie git who was trying to get in the face of Faf du Plessis, and the images went around the world of the diminutive security guard for the Proteas pushing this guy out of the way. So he was just basically hounding the Faf the whole time. Cricket South Africa did say, look, Faf's in no position to talk about this. It's an ongoing lawsuit, or not a lawsuit, it's a disciplinary thing that's happening with the ICC. So he was not at liberty to even comment about this, and it was said that the reporter was fully aware of this, but he was just looking for likes, basically. He was looking for attention.
Aww.
And he got body checked into a door. So 7 a.m, I'll be able to give you the outcome of that in the next sports report, 7:30. Which, yeah, yesterday, India wrapped up England very quick and sharp, 246 runs, the winning margin there. And it all begs the question, India, when at home, they can spar with people as much as they want, and when they want to win, well, they just turn the pitch on. Literally, it's just like that. Of course, if you're winning the toss in the subcontinent and you're not batting first, you're kind of always going to be sucking the hind teeth there. And that's where England are right now. They're 1-0 down in that series. Of course, the big one for cricketing, from our perspective this week, is Thursday. Because it's a day-night test in Adelaide with the pink ball, play will start at 5:30, so that's nice. You can wake up, give it a play before work, and it'll be with you the whole day, so that's very exciting. In motorsport news, Abu Dhabi Grand Prix is the final on the Grand Prix circuit for the year, and Nico Rosberg basically has to finish on the podium. The fact that he's driving Mercedes basically guarantees that, so barring an engine blowout or anything like that, he will be the next champion, and Lewis Hamilton knows all about this, saying his odds are basically impossible of winning this weekend. He has to win. Rosberg has to basically fall out somewhere along the line, and it's the only way that Lewis Hamilton can defend his title. But who really cares? It's okay if Rosberg wins. Next year, hopefully other teams and other cars can make it slightly more interesting. That's all your sport for the first hour today.
All right, excellent. Just almost as if to prove my point about Zimbabwe being a real toilet bowl of a country, this is the headline in the Daily Mail online this morning.
Mm.
Prostitute beats a man with a beer bottle after he uses a boiled egg to pay for sex in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the economy of Zim right there in one beautiful story. Keep an eye on that and more in the headlines. On the way, Anthea Gardner with a look at the money.
At Affluent Prairie Fund Management, we know that time doesn't stand still. Weeks become years as we carry on reducing your retirement income. Once we've deducted management fees, performance fees, administration fees, and trading costs, you'll get 60% less in your retirement than you should. Because the passage of time changes all our fortunes.
At Signia, we won't help ourselves to 60% of your retirement money because we use revolutionary technology to eliminate unnecessary fees. Talk to your financial advisor or go to signia.co.za. That's SYGNIA. Signia Asset Management is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply.
Does your education have 20/20 vision? Apply at Vega for a world-class BA or BCom degree from an internationally accredited institution, and in 2020 you'll be ready to take the world by storm. Vega is the only school in South Africa focused upon the fast-paced, high-stakes field of branding, one of the most powerful and exciting global industries. Vega is a brand of the Independent Institute of Education, which is accredited by the British Accreditation Council. Visit vegaschool.com.
It's Justin Bieber with Skrillex and Diplo. And where are you now? Well, we know where Anthea Gardner is. She is sitting in front of 100 screens watching all the important economic indicators, all the stocks and shares, and everything else, including the markets in the Far East, which have opened already.
She works hard for the money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey.
Anthea.
She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
She does work hard for the money, and soon
she works hard for
she could
money.
Be working hard for your money.
So hard for it, honey.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
Okay, how are we looking this morning?
So we kicked off the week with a stronger end, which is nice, but the stock market was flat to slightly weaker. Volumes are very low at the moment, but I think this is ahead of the U.S. Thanksgiving weekend. So not everybody's long-term investor like us. You know, some people trade for a day or two, they open a position, they take profits or book losses, and then close the position. And I think a lot of the U.S. traders are like that, so you'll see a lot of volume kind of subsiding because nobody wants to hold an open position over a long weekend. It's sort of anything can happen, you know. Yeah, but then it's not such a quiet week for us locally. I mean, we've had a slew of company reporting. So first of all, we had Netcare, which is the hospital group. I mean, one of the best performers yesterday, actually. The share was up 3%. After they reported full year earnings up 5.6%, definitely growing the business both locally and in the UK. And then the other standout performer yesterday was Barloworld. The share was up 7%. Now, I'm not sure their results warrant a 7% in one day move, but you know, it's one of those shares that's been struggling kind of in the mining and industrial sector. So profit after one-time items was removed is up 14%. Not a huge number, but the share was up 7% and the market liked it. I think also their kind of forward-looking statement's quite good. You know,
listen, up 7% on the share is not bad at all.
Exactly, in one day, right?
Oh, terrific. So I
think it's kind of this forward-looking statement that, you know, that they're thinking maybe it's the bottom of the commodity cycle and it's going to help mining sector, which will help them. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of very positive about the future, which is nice. But you have to believe that for to justify a 7% up move in one day.
Sure.
And then three companies we watch quite closely, food companies that I talk about a lot. Astral Foods, Pioneer, and Rhodes Food Group all reported yesterday. Astral Pioneer results pretty much in line, slightly disappointing. Astral reported earnings down 50%, so we expected it, but that's still disappointing. Pioneer earnings up 36%, pretty much what we expected. But then Rhodes reported diluted headline earnings per share up 51%, and this is a big surprise. I know they're quite acquisitive, or they're very acquisitive for their size, actually. But I think it's more than that. I think, I'm telling you, not just thinking, I know, I can see it from the results, that they're actually growing quite nicely organically, you know, not just by buying other companies. Mm. So this is fast becoming my favorite company. And I didn't include it in any of the hashtag invest portfolios because they only listed a year and a half ago. The shares rallied quite strongly. It's another one of those that's been in high demand. And I almost feel like they haven't proven themselves. And then secondly, they're so small, they don't trade very much. And I'm very aware of liquidity when times are volatile because if there's not enough liquidity, the share will plummet 10%. So it's not in the hashtag invest portfolios. But if you want to trade it on the side, then I don't think there's any problem in adding kind of maybe a 3% weighting to your portfolio or, you know, just put a little bit of money into it. But watch it, you know, because if anything does happen, it'll come off quite quickly. So
yeah.
And if it rallies 10, 15%, then take profit. Like nothing wrong with taking profit.
Just remind me, we can do that, right? In hashtag invest, we can actually go and choose some other stuff and put it in on the side.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I like that. All right, cool.
And then, Gareth, I'm still getting loads of emails and questions about hashtag invest. And I have to admit, I didn't really want to complicate things, so I didn't add benchmarks to any of the portfolios. But actually, I'm so impressed our investors or listeners we call them both now, right?
Sure.
They really are super smart. And I want to explain very quickly something. For the conservative and growth income, which I call stable portfolio, the benchmark is the STEFI. Doesn't matter what it stands for. And it's currently returning 7.9%. And this is the nice, steady portfolios that will grow consistently every month because they're invested in bonds and commercial paper, and they pay interest, regularly pay interest. They obviously, because we're invested in listed instruments like bonds and commercial paper, we do better than the bank interest you're getting.
Okay.
And then the aggressive growth portfolio, I use SWIX as the benchmark, which is the short shareholder weighted index, and it really includes all the shares on the market. And the SWIX has returned 15% per annum since inception in 2003. And that includes the GFC in 2008, 2009, and in fact even includes the last year, which has been horrible. The market's down, that index is down 4%. But here's the power of compounding. Since 2003, the cumulative return for the SWIX, even though it's 15% per annum, is 550%.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know, 15% per annum sounds a little, but if you put your money away and just leave it there and let it grow on top of growth every year, then that's the kind of return you're looking at.
Can't argue with those numbers.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, hang on. I have to say something because you were in that compliance meeting when our compliance lady said, when we quote performance numbers, we must say past performance is no indication of future performance.
Correct. Yeah.
She drilled it into you.
No, it's true. And you know what? This is the point. You've got to be adult about this. We're not here to guide you down a garden path, and we're also not here to promise you things that can't be delivered. You have to go into this realistically. And anybody who wants to be on the stock market has to accept and understand that you are making yourself subject to the vagaries of the market, which could include international pressures that you have no control over, unpredictability. There are all kinds of things that could happen and do happen in this world that have an effect on your money. And when you go and put your money onto the stock market, you're effectively opening it up to all of those various influences. And that's not going to be able to be controlled by Anthea or by me or by anyone else, right?
Indeed, that's exactly it. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. So in the long term, being on the stock market is definitely worth it.
Sure.
But it will go up and down if you're in the growth or aggressive growth portfolios, whereas if you're short-term investor, then stick with the conservative or the growth income portfolio.
Correct.
All right, then.
All right, is that it for today?
For me, yes.
Marvelous.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. There we go, Anthea Gardner, and a look at your money. It is 7 o'clock on the dot. On the way, we're going to start checking in on some of the more serious news stories going on and some of the more ridiculous ones that are going on. And I also want to speak to Stephen Huertas, if we can get hold of him, because he managed to get an interview with one of the Guptas a while ago. And everybody's talking about it, so it's worth us talking about it too. Mubs has got some headlines, all the stuff you need to know right here on touchcentral.fm, cliffcentral.com.